accession number 18729, Reel 1.
Mrs. Bothwell, Reel 1, where were you born, please?
I was born in Nichols in Birmingham, and according to my mother and my birth certificates, it was on the 17th of November 1927 at number 12 Little Francis Street.
Did you grow up and have your schooling in Nichols?
No. When I was 2 years old, my parents were given a council house in Birches Green, Erdington, Birmingham. The address was 14 Danby Grove, Birches Green Estate.
And did you go to school there?
No, the nearest Catholic school was Erdington Abbey.
Is that in Birmingham?
Yes. It's Birmingham 24.
And when did you finish your schooling?
When I was 14, and we were living in Dudley.
So you left school in 41?
Yes, November 41.
Did you hear Neville Chamberlain declare war on Germany?
I did. We'd been to the early mass, and we came back in time to hear his speech. And that was at 11 o'clock on the Sunday morning. And then immediately after the speech, Mother told my sister and I to go up to the bedroom and to change our clothes, to put our play frocks on. We lived near Castle Bromwich Aerodrome, which was about 20 minutes to half an hour's walk, on the Kingsbury Chester Road corner. We lived on an estate just off the Kingsbury Road. And we had to walk down off the estate onto the Kingsbury Road, down to the Tyburn Road junction, go over the Tyburn Road, continue along Kingsbury Road to the aircraft factory. Once there, we turned right onto the Chester Road, and we would walk to Castle Bromwich, where an aunt and uncle kept a public house. But I will refer to that later in my story. But that was before the war. The day of Neville Chamberlain's speech, we went up to the bedroom. Now, we didn't see very much of the aircraft from Castle Bromwich Aerodrome. I didn't know at the time, but I always thought that the aircraft flying out of the aerodrome belonged to a university flying club, and very few of them flew over our estate. So on this Sunday morning, 6 months before war was declared, the aerodrome was closed down. We didn't see any aircraft at all. So while we were up in the bedroom changing our dresses, we heard an aeroplane coming across. And my sister and I dashed to the window, and we saw this biplane flying across the grove where we lived, and it went over the houses to our left, over the back. And almost immediately we heard thump, thump, thump. We both dashed downstairs, and I said to Mother, "Mum, a German aeroplane has just flown over and dropped some bombs." "What are you talking about?" So I repeated it. She said, "Oh, don't be so silly. Get back upstairs and finish changing." So we went back upstairs, didn't think any more about it. We were called down for our dinner. And after dinner, Mother and Mum and Dad would usually go and have a lie down with my two younger sisters in the afternoon, leaving Francis and I to clear the table and do the washing up. Once we'd done that and put everything away, we could either go down to the Kingsbury Road to the sweet shop to spend our pocket money, or we could go round to Rookery Park on the Kingsbury Road. This day we decided we'd go to Rookery Park, and we walked through the gate on the corner of Spring Lane, walked through the park past the Bowling Green, the Rose Gardens, to the swing area. Beyond the swings there was a football field, but on Sundays the children were not allowed to play ball on the green. You weren't allowed to play, no football matches at all were allowed. And we saw a crowd of people at the far side of the field on the left. And they were standing in a circle, they were looking down at the ground. So we wandered over there, and they were looking at two holes in the tarmac path at the side of the field. And one man was saying to another, "What do you think's caused these holes then?" He said, "Do you think it's the local lads getting their own back on the park keeper?" Because the park keeper was very strict. And he said, the other man said, no, is that it's not being dug by a spade. Where's the piles of earth around the edge of the hole? No, this wasn't done by a spade. But I can't think what could have caused it. So I was 11 years old at the time, and I could have said to them, "I know what's caused it. It was caused by a bomb or bombs." But nobody would have believed me. Now, the people standing round the circle, about 20, 25 of them, there were middle-aged and old men, who the middle-aged men in occupations where they were better where they were rather than being drafted into the army or the air force. And of course the older men were too old for call up. And then it was down to boys round about 17 and a half, coming 18 years of age, and younger children. And they were all standing round trying to decide where these holes had come from. And then somebody pointed out a third hole over the paling fence at the side of the path, the bottom of the garden. So my sister and I, we got a bit bored, so we wandered off, went back to the swings, and we were told to be home by about 4:30, which was very difficult to guess, because neither of us had a watch. Anyway, we wandered back home, and Mother got the tea ready, so we couldn't wait to get indoors. And I went up to Mum and I said, "Mum, you know I said this morning that a German plane had flown over and dropped some bombs?" "Yes, what about it?" I said, "Well, he did." "Who did? What?" "A German plane. The pilot dropped some bombs and they fell in Rookery Park." "Oh, don't be so stupid," she said. So I said, "Well, if you don't believe me, Mum, put your coat on and come back to the park with us." "I can't do that. We're about to have tea. And anyway, I'm too tired." And she wouldn't go. So we sat down and had tea. And later on, when we sat around, had the radio on and we were talking, and I said to Mum, I said, "Mum, I said, now that this Mr. Hitler has declared war on us, I said, does that mean that he's going to send his aeroplanes over and drop bombs on us?" She said, "Oh, don't be so silly." She said, if he sends his planes over with bombs, they'll drop the bombs on the factories, not on the houses where the people live." But after the war, I read up some papers that had been written about the history of the war, and what I'd said about him bombing the houses of the workers was exactly what he had done. he'd said to his ministers that you bomb factories, they can replace the equipment. They can be repaired, they can replace the equipment. But if you kill the people who work in that factory, they can't be replaced. So he started dropping bombs on housing estates around the factories.
Was there any question of your being evacuated?
No. At the school, we were told that children who lived within the inner circle, right in the very centre of the city, they would be evacuated, and they were. They were sent away about a week before war was declared. But outside that circle, we wouldn't be evacuated, and of course we were quite a little way outside the circle.
How did the war affect you at first, if at all?
Not very much, really. We continued going to school. It used to take us about 45-50 minutes to walk to school. We had a 2-hour lunch break. In the infant school, we took a packed lunch. But once in the senior school, Mother decided that we were old enough to walk home. And having the 2-hour lunch break, we had about half an hour indoors to eat a cooked meal. So that's what we did.
And have you any memories of the Blitz on Birmingham then?
Yes. In the first bombs that were recorded fell on the 9th of August 1940. We'd gone up to bed. Oh, the Anderson shelters had been delivered to the houses a few months before war was declared, and we'd also been issued with the gas masks, and the rubber from the gas mask made me feel ill. I was allergic to the smell of the rubber, and I only ever put mine on twice. But this night, we'd heard the aeroplanes flying over, and they always seemed to be so distant. And this particular night, we'd gone up to bed, and when the Anderson shelter was put up, Mother, who was the handy woman, Dad was hopeless with a hammer and nail, Mother erected two bunks on the left-hand side of the shelter. And on the opposite side, she'd put a bench for us to sit on and a cupboard for putting tins and packets of food. We'd got a paraffin heater in there, a bucket for toilet juice, and we would carry down, when we went down to the shelter, we would carry down a bag with a tin of biscuits, couple of bottles of milk, vacuum flask with hot water in, a saucepan to put on top of the paraffin heater to heat up some fresh water if we needed it, and a 3-gallon can to hold water in case we were in there all night. And also we had to carry down blankets and pillows whenever we went down there. Anyway, this particular night, 9th of August, we got to bed, and Mother had got us into a routine. When you get undressed, you take your clothes off, put your coats on the back of the chair, put a hat, scarf and gloves in the pockets. When you get undressed, fold your clothes up and put them inside a pillow slip. Leave your vest and knickers on. Leave your socks on. And put your shoes at the side of the bed with the laces loosely tied so that you can slip your feet in to the shoes and you can walk without tripping up. So we got into a routine of doing this every night, whether we went to the shelter or not. So this night, we went to bed as usual. Dad was late coming in from work. He was a postman. He worked out of Erdington Post Office. And he did 4 deliveries a day at King's Standing, which was further out than Erdington. And he used to cycle. And the deliveries were 7 o'clock in the morning, midday, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and 7 o'clock at night. So it was usually, by the time he got back to the post office and got things ready for sorting the next morning, it was usually round about 8, 9 o'clock when he came in. And this night he was a little bit later than usual, and he was tired. But for some reason they were late going up to bed. Anyway, Dad got into bed and Mum said he fell off to sleep straight away. She got into bed, but for some reason she couldn't sleep. She was very restless. And about 1 o'clock in the morning, she said she got out of bed. She went and stood by the window, which overlooked the garden. And the gardens of the houses at the back of us, which were on Round Road, which was the centre of the Burgess Green Estate. And when we went to school, we had to walk round part of this Round Road and then turn off up Firtree Road to get to Kingsbury Road and Spring Lane, which was the way we went to school. So she was standing by this window looking out, and she could hear the throbbing of this plane as it came over. So she went to the bed and she tried to wake Dad. George, wake up. What's the matter? It's not time to get up yet. So she said, no, listen. She said, that plane that's coming over, she said, that's not a British plane. He said, oh, you're imagining it. And he turned over and tried to get back to sleep. So Mum went back to the window. And all of a sudden, there was this loud explosion and this flash of glaring light. And she stepped back in shock and fell on the bed. And when she recovered from that, she came running into us. Come on, girls, get your things. There isn't time to get down to the shelter, because the bang had woken us up. She said, get your things and get on the floor under the bed. She said, and take your clothes with you. So we got off the bed and I slipped my shoes on. Put my coat on over my pyjamas as a dressing gown, got my pillow slip, lay on my back, pillow slip on the floor at the side of me, and pushed myself onto the bed. My sister, stupid girl she was, she put the pillow slip with her clothes in on top of her stomach, and as she tried to slide onto the bed, she got wedged on the bed iron, and she couldn't move. She let out a piercing scream. Mother came running in. What on earth's the matter? What on earth's the matter? She said, Mum, I've got stuck. So Mum said, oh, you stupid girl, she said, grabbing her by her ankles and yanking her from under the bed. She said, how old are you? She said, use your common sense. She said, Teresa managed to get under there without getting stuck. She said, she said, get on with it. She said, I've got to go and see to the baby. So she went into her bedroom and saw to my two younger sisters, who were, one was 4 and the other one was 2. And she had to get them ready to ready to go down to the air raid shelter. The air raid warning didn't go until about 5 minutes after the bomb had dropped. And we stayed under the bed for about half an hour. And then soon afterwards, I think the all clear went, so Mother told us to get back into bed. The next day, mother was washing, so the bomb must have dropped on the Sunday night. Anyway, on the Monday, mother told Francis and I to get our coats on and go round to the park for the morning, because she didn't want us under her feet while she was doing the washing. So we get round to the park. We go round road, and as we got to Birch's Green Road, which was a sort of road behind our grove, on the corner, the two houses, semi-detached houses, were completely demolished. And there was a single policeman there putting tape across the road to stop the traffic. Though he needn't have wasted his energies, because the only cars that went round the estate was the baker, the coalman, the post van when he went round to pick up letters from the boxes, and possibly a doctor or an ambulance, fire engine. There were no private cars at all, so very little traffic. Anyway, he taped off the road, and the air raid warden was walking through the rubble of the house. A lady came out from the house opposite, and she shouted across, "Has anybody been killed?" The air raid looked up and he said, "No, lady, no, all the family's safe." He said the shelter was right up close to the side of the house, and the blast, the explosion, went over the top of the Anderson shelter. "They're all okay." He said the only death that occurred was of the budgery girl. They forgot to take the budgie down to the shelter with them. But round in Birch's Green Road, the two houses at gardens at the back of the gardens of these two had gone, been flattened. One man was killed, and two or three were very badly injured. Then the next raids were about the 12th or 13th, 15th and 16th. And then the third one after the 9th, they managed to hit the Vickers Aircraft Factory. And most of the men in the grove, there were 28 houses altogether. Most of the men worked at the Vickers Aircraft Factory. And about 7 o'clock in the morning, a policeman came into the grove and went to number 26. Number 24. And he had to tell the wife that her husband had been killed in the raid, and that they'd found his body up in the rafters of the factory, minus his head. They'd got one daughter. We didn't see anything of her after the raid. I think she was in a state of shock. She would answer the door for quite a long time, and then she and the daughter moved away, and I think they went to stay with relatives. And then on the night of the, there was another raid on the 19th, 20th, and then on the morning of, these heavy raids were in October. There were only one or two light raids in the August after that first bomb. The more serious raids were in the October. And on the night of the 21st, 22nd of the October, there was a very heavy raid, and it seemed to be right overhead. We were there from As soon as it got dark, the siren went, and we were there till late in the shelter till 8 o'clock the next morning. Oh no, it was before then. We went back indoors. We must have gone back indoors about 6:30. Dad had to leave for work, or he should have gone to work, and the policeman came on the door at 7 o'clock, and he said, you've all got to be evacuated. I want you to pack a small case or a box of personal belongings, like a change of clothes, pyjamas, toilet requisites, and any personal, small personal belongings that are important to you. And you are to assemble at the corner of Round Road and Somerley Road, which was the road at the end of that grove. You've got to assemble there at 7:30. And everybody has got to move off the estate. The raid last night, the Germans dropped time and incendiary bombs all over this estate. And nobody will be allowed back into the houses until the army can spare the men to come and inspect all the gardens and the houses to make sure there are no none of these small bombs. So we went round to Birch's Green Road, which was just outside the exclusion area, and a friend from church, Mrs. Podmore, she lived there with her son. Her husband was in the army, and she said, well, she said, I can put you all up for tonight. But that was the night of the 22nd. But she said, you'll have to move on the next day, she said, because I'm closing the house up and I'm taking the boy to my parents' home in Hereford. So came the next day, and Mum said to Dad, she said, where can we go? We don't know anybody. She said, we don't go to Eunice's. She won't welcome us. So, she said, oh, I know. She said, we'll go to Dudley. She said, mother had two cousins there, and they owned a pub in Dudley Town Centre near the marketplace. And it was a large pub. It used to be a hotel. And she said, we'll take a chance that they will be able to help us. So we got the tram to Dudley, and had to walk up into the town from the station, up the hill past the zoo, into the town centre, and we found the pub, and the pub was open by the time we got there. So Mum and Dad went into the bar, and they left us in the side entry where the lorries delivered the beer and that. And Auntie Kitty came out of the bar with Mum and Dad.